If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Luke. Luke, I was in Acts this morning at the Sunday school, but if you turn to Luke chapter 19 while you're getting there, let me just explain to you a little bit of the direction I want to go here this morning. We all have emotions, amen? God has given us emotions. Matter of fact, the verse that we're going to read here in just a moment shows that Jesus had emotions. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. And so he had every emotion that you and I ever had. And he displayed them here in these portions of scriptures. I want you to find your place in Luke chapter 19, verse number 41. And then I also want you to get to Luke chapter 13 and verse number 34. You don't have to get to Luke 13 right away. It's not that far away from Luke chapter 19. But I do want to read both of these into our ears this morning. And while you're getting ready, you know, there's been times in my life where I've gotten upset or get excited about something. Sports is one thing, you know, we all seem to get excited about. And I can remember many years ago in 1983 listening to a baseball game where a pitcher was pitching Detroit Tigers. I grew up in Michigan. So the Tigers were my favorite team of choice back then, of course. And I remember Milt Wilcox pitching a game against the Chicago White Sox. And he retired 26 batters in a row, no walks, no hits, and he had a no-hitter and a perfect game going. But in the ninth inning, the 27th batter, that would have been it for the whole game. He threw a big fat fastball up, and the guy hit it out in right field for a base hit, and boy, was I upset. I remember waking up and getting so involved in that game, and after that happened, I had a hard time getting back to sleep. I was so worked up over it. But it happened again in 2010 when Armando Galarraga was also pitching for, again, the Detroit Tigers, and had also retired 26 batters, and the 27th batter was up to bat. Perfect game, no hitter. And the ball player hit the ball down to the right to the first baseman, Miguel Cabrera, and he picked up the ball and tossed it to Galarraga, and he caught the ball and stepped on the base, and the umpire said, safe. But you could clearly see that he was out. And man, I was upset. I'd been listening to that game. It's a perfect game going. I carried on about that. I talked about that day, talked about the next day. And about the third day, my wife said, why don't you just give it up? It's not that big a deal. So, you know, you get worked up over things, don't you? And I know that in our life, that in what we do, things get us riled up. And it's not just sports, but there's other things, hobbies and all sorts of different interests that people have. But you know what? Those things are minor compared to what really matters in life. And I'm reminded of a verse in 1 Corinthians where it talks about Stephanas and Achaeus was addicted to salvation. The ministry of the saints. Now, isn't that something good to be emotional about, to get upset about, or to get excited about? You know, addicts, they have to do something, amen. Whatever it's the drugs or whatever the case may be, maybe it is sports or a sports addict, and they call them workaholics. They get all involved in something. But isn't it nice that some folks get addicted to the ministry of the saints? And I want to talk to you a little bit this morning, and as brief as possibly as I can be. I don't want to go too long this morning. I don't want to belabor it, but I do want to get you. I was traveling back from Michigan, going back to where we lived in Ohio at that time, thinking about the ministry, thinking about what it would be like. And I thought of this portion of Scripture and two others that I had read some time ago in a devotional book, and I got to thinking about this and thinking about how Jesus was touched, amen, how he was moved. And if you found your place in Luke chapter 19, I ask you to stand as we read these two verses. First of all, Luke chapter 19, verse number 41, and then we're going to go over to Luke chapter 13, verse 34. I'm going to preach for just a little bit on what stirs us. What is it that stirs your heart? What moves you? And I want to try to get into your hearing today something that would move you and something that would stir your hearts and to cause you to do something for the Lord. But in Luke chapter 19, verse number 41, the Bible says, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it." He wept over it, he being Jesus. Now, if you go over to verse number 34 of chapter number 13 of Luke, just turn back a few pages, and we'll see another portion of Scripture, and it's the same thing. It shows our Lord's emotion. It shows his passion, if you will. He says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, touch our hearts today. Move upon us, guide and direct us in our lives, I ask. Lord, for these few moments that we look into your word today, I pray, God, that you touch our hearts and stir our hearts for you, I pray. Guide and direct us now this day, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now I want to just reiterate this morning that Jesus had emotions. Jesus was moved. But you see in chapter number 13, he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem." Can you just hear the passion in his voice? He's pleading with Jerusalem. He's pleading with his people. He's pleading with them. He says, "Oh, I would have gathered you together, but you would not." The prophets that God sent to the children of Israel, they killed them, they stole them, they put them in jail, they wouldn't listen to them. They lived for the Lord for some time, and then they'd go back on the Lord. They would make idols, they would do all sorts of things against God. And the Lord was moved. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." I don't know, but if the Lord said something to me once, I think I'd want to listen. But if he says something twice, I think we ought to all perk up our ears. We see also Jesus wept in John chapter 11, verse 34 and verse 35. The shortest verse in all the scripture just says Jesus wept. He had emotions. He had desires, if you will, and things moved him. Jesus even cried out on the cross, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which being in turn is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" As he was nailed upon the cross, as he died, as he shed his blood, it was for you and me. It was his passion, many call it. But I want you to know that God had emotions. And why did he have his emotions? Why did he cry out to Jerusalem? Why did he cry out and beg them to come to God? Well, I think, first of all, there's three cities I want to talk about here. And the first one is Jerusalem. And this city, I want to liken it or represent the people that he was concerned about. And that was his people. That was the Jews. The Bible says, and I think I mentioned it this morning, even in the Sunday school class, is that the gospel came first of all to the Jew first. Jesus came to the Jews first. That's who he came to win. That's who he came to woo, if you will. And Jesus was moved or stirred in his heart for his people. We even see that in some of the disciples that Jesus chose. Andrew, the Bible says, found his brother Peter and said, "Come and see the Messiah." And Philip found his friend Nathanael. He said, "Come see a man. Come see the Messiah." And that's when Nathanael said that famous quote in the Bible, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" I want you to know today that the Lord was concerned about his people. And our first desire in our life when we're saved ought to be for our people, amen, for our parents, for our wife, for our husband, for our brother, for our sister, amen, for our aunts and uncles and those that are closest to us, the friends at work even, that we see every day, that we work around, that we have some things in common. Our heart's desire ought to see for those people to be saved. What I want to talk about this morning is how are we witnessing? How are we telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ? We have dedicated our lives at Bearing Precious Seed and Local Church Bible Publishers and Calvary Publishing to getting the Word of God out. Why? Because the Word of God is the Word of life. It's the light of the world. I will make it a lamp unto my feet, David wrote. Amen. And a light unto my path. We live our life through the Word of God, and we ought to be sharing the Word of God with those that are close to us. We ought to be concerned about them. Jesus said, "And ye shall be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria." That was right there where he lived. That's where the disciples were from. I can remember years ago when my dad went in for heart surgery. And I was concerned. I wanted to make sure my dad knew the Lord. My dad was a Sunday school teacher, a deacon at the local Baptist church. You know, I lived just two doors from it. But when he got out of the World War, when he got out of the war in World War II, 1944, 1945, he moved back and built our house right there next to the church and surrendered his life and called upon the Lord and asked him to save him. But I never heard his testimony, but I knew that he was a Christian. I remember going down at night watching him on his knees praying. I can remember him sitting and reading his Bible. But before he went into heart surgery, I thought, I'm going to ask my dad. And I said, "Dad, do you know Jesus Christ? Are you sure you're okay?" And he said, "Yes, Skeeter, I'm fine. I know the Lord Jesus." I remember David, my brother, when he came home from Vietnam and started to work, and he contacted cancer, had cancer of the lungs, and part of that was from the Agent Orange from Vietnam. And I can remember how it started to weaken him and take him down. And also I thought, maybe I better ask David if he knows the Lord. And I remember calling him on the phone and asking him, "David, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior?" And I can remember hearing his weakened voice, his gravelly voice, soon to pass away at the age of 45, saying, "Yes, Skeeter, I know the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior." I'll tell you what, our heart's desire should first be for those that are closest to us. Have you witnessed to? Have you talked to? And I think probably most people, when they get saved, that's the first thing they think about. I'm going to tell my mom. I'm going to tell my dad. I'm going to tell my brothers. Or I'm going to tell my wife, or I'm going to tell my husband, tell my children about Jesus Christ. And this first city, this Jerusalem, when Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem," he was concerned for his own people. Are you concerned for your own people today? And the Bible says in Psalm 126, and I want to go there very quickly. This is our theme for Bearing Precious Seed, and it has even our title in it. The Bible says in Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed," got that, "bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bring his sheaves with him." Without the seed of the Word of God, there is no harvest. We need to sow that seed. I remember years ago, a preacher contacted polio and was in the hospital. This many, many years ago, and fighting it. Someone gave him a Bible, and he began to read it, and he read it through. And as he got through there, somewhere along the line, he called upon the Lord to save his soul. Amen. Just by reading the Word of God. We have testimony after testimony of testimony of people getting saved from these little John and Romans that we give out that tell them how to be saved. Our first mission ought to be to our own people. Bear precious seed. The second city I want to look at is Athens. And that's found in Acts chapter 17. If you'll turn there with me, Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verses 15 and 16 shows Paul's heart. Jesus' heart, of course, was for the world. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Amen. "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We know the Lord was concerned about the whole world, but the first thing he was concerned about was for his own people. And Paul now, he goes to Athens, and the Bible says, and they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus, for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. His spirit was stirred, was moved. Why? Because he saw the city given in idolatry. Folks, our hearts ought to be stirred today seeing our country given to idolatry. They're serving the God of themselves. They're serving the God of pleasure, of desire. They have no movement towards God. That's where you and I come in as Christians. That's where the believer comes in, is trying to get the word out to them. The Bible says that his spirit was stirred in him. If you were to drive today from Jerusalem to Athens, it'd take you about 31 hours. I'm trying to make a point here very quickly. 31 hours to actually sit and drive. Now, I know what it is to drive a long ways. I mean, I drove out Colorado. When we get done here, I'm going to be driving to California, and then I'm going to drive back to Michigan. You know how long it's going to take me to get from California back to Michigan? About 31 hours. It'd take me a while. What I'm saying is this country is a mission field. It's Paul talked about the regions beyond, and the regions beyond are closer than you think. Amen? That's what it is. You can go from here, from Ellicott, Colorado, and go up to the northeast. It'd take you a while to drive up there. But you know there are towns up there of 175,000 or 150,000 or 75,000 that do not have an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church in them. Our own country. Folks, we have to look at those that are in the regions beyond. This second city that I want to talk about represents the people that we do not know. The folks that we send missions to, amen. I'm glad we have a mission-minded church here that send missionaries out. And they go out. They go to countries. They also go to local areas, places here, places like Silver State Baptist Youth Camp, which is a wonderful outreach. Brother, there's been over 40 people saved this summer up there at the camp. Last week, there was 11 people saved on Wednesday. Is that wonderful? They have a testimony service, and I'm sorry to talk about the camp, but I've been up there all summer, and I've been seeing it's been quite a blessing. But they have a testimony service on Friday nights. People standing up, and this last Friday night, there was one after another that stood up and said, I got saved on Wednesday night. I got saved on Wednesday night. I got saved on Wednesday night. What a wonderful blessing. That's people that you don't even know. Amen. And if we support places like Silver State Baptist Youth Camp or, I saw you have a flyer back there for Beam. They put out the Bible too. They do a good work. They do what we do. And I'm saying support them. Get the Word of God out. They'll take boxes of Bibles to conferences and set them down. And they'll say, these Bibles need to get to Africa. Can you send them? And people will take those boxes. And they'll say, yes, I'll send them. I'll pay for it. Because a lot of the cost of getting the Word of God out is the shipping cost. It's not the whole cost, but it is a big cost to get them out. Folks, we ought to be concerned about those that are in the region beyond. We ought to be concerned about people that we do not know. The missionary burdens that we send out, they're a burden for these folks, and we ought to be saying, I want to see them saved. We ought to be concerned about our own people, but we ought to all be concerned about the people that we do not know. There is a third city, and that is found in Revelation chapter 21, if you'll turn there. Revelation chapter 21, and this is the most blessed city. The Bible says in chapter 21 of Revelation, in verse 1 and 2, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from New Jerusalem New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This is the glorious city. This is the heavenly people. This is the city where all those that we have had a part with showing how to get saved and they trust the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the city that they'll be in. Amen. And we ought to be able to rejoice around that fact. And any time you see someone get saved, Pastor, I was glad to see all those kids here. You know, that's the future of the church, amen, are those children. And when they come to get saved, that's a wonderful thing. We don't belittle it. We like it when the older people get saved, but it's a blessing when the younger people get saved. I believe it was D.L. Moody who went to a service one time and he preached, and it wasn't a great number of people, but he came back and they said, "Pastor, how'd you do? How'd it go?" He said, "Well, we had 2.5 get saved." And they said, "Well, great. You had 2 adults and 1 child. He said, "No, we had 2 children and 1 adult. Because you get the children saved, amen, they have all the rest of their life to serve God. And the adult, they have some of it left. Amen. Now, I'm not belittling getting adults saved. I'm telling you what, I'm glad I was saved at age 27. I considered myself adult. My wife might not have, but I considered myself adult that age. Amen. And but I tell you what, I'm so glad when kids get saved and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll see those children. And some of those kids that get saved and they move on. You know, when we were in Fillmore, Utah, that's where I ministered for 23 years. And we started to work and helped start another work in Richfield, Utah. But we had over 100 boys and girls that we ministered during that time. We brought all those kids in. And many of those, we will never see them again here upon earth. But I'm confident we'll see them in heaven because many of them trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a stirring of our heart. Are you stirred today? I wish I could get you stirred up. I wish I could get you so you would get so addicted to the fact of seeing people saved. And I say that, of course, because I want to see the Word of God presented. I want the Bible to go out. I want people to receive the Word of God. I think that's the most effective way to get people saved. Every soul who have had a part in their salvation will be there in heaven. Family who have trusted. My dad, my brother, my sister who I never knew, and other friends that I knew for just a short time, they'll be there in heaven. They've trusted Jesus Christ, and you will be there if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, if you give Him your heart. There's a fourth city. I think this is probably the most important city of all. Let's call this town Ellicott. Amen. Let's call it Ellicott, Colorado. And this town is what we ought to be concerned about. This is your city, your town or village. How are you stirred for them? You have the guy I notice when, as soon as I walk in. You know what I look for, Pastor, when I walk into a church? I look for the mission board and I look for the track rack. And I want to know what this church is doing. Are they sending missionaries? Are they giving out gospel tracts? Part of the reason I look for gospel tracts is I usually take a few. Because I want to give them out. When I'm in the area, I want to give out something that's here. And I'll bet, that's not a good term in a Baptist church, right? I would hope that many of you have taken those gospel tracts and given them out to some of your neighbors. You know, that's a simple thing to do, is give it out a gospel tract. And you know what? It's hard, isn't it, sometimes? I tell you what, it gets wearisome trying to witness to people sometimes because you get turned down so much. And it is a little bit daunting sometimes. But folks, we ought to get a burden. Our heart ought to be stirred up for people's hearts and souls and trying to get them to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the best thing, one of the best things you can do is give them a gospel tract. Can I ask a question here? How many here, you have received a gospel tract by somebody? Anybody here? There's 1, 2, 3. You see what my point is? When you give out a tract, don't think, oh, they have already gotten a gospel tract. Think of how many gospel tracts you have gotten. I received a gospel tract in California, of all places. Two people talked to me in the same week, told me about the Lord. Amen? And you know what I say? Thank you. Keep it up. I'll tell you what, folks, one of the best things you can do is take some of those gospel tracts, hand them out, go through that drive-through as you're going in or going to the grocery store, going any store. Here, let me give you a gospel tract. Let me tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. We were in Yuma, Arizona for 3 months. And the first time we got down there, we were thinking, well, where are we going to go to church here? Went into Walmart. You always go into Walmart when you get into a new town. You try to anyways. If there's Walmart. Is there a Walmart around here? I don't know. There might not be. This is a beautiful drive, by the way. Brother Craig sent me the back way. He said, here, Brother Skeeter, let me tell you. Yeah, you need to go this route. And I said, okay. So I went that route. It's a beautiful drive. I love it. Love Colorado. And coming down through there. We went into Walmart, came back out, and there was a gospel tract on my windshield. Maranatha Baptist Church. I said, huh, they give out tracts. And oh, look, it's King James. So we went there, and we went to church, and we went there the whole time we were there. Found a people that loved God, and we loved God, and they loved people. And it was great. But I come to find the man that gave out those gospel tracts. I said, yeah, I got a gospel tract in my windshield. You know what they said, Pastor? Oh, Larry gave that out. Because Larry is the one that gave out the gospel tracts. Can you guess why Larry gave out gospel tracts? Anybody here? Desire? Anybody else? What? Love the Lord. Someone gave Larry a gospel tract, and Larry got saved. I tell you what, listen, folks, it's a simple thing to do, but give out the Word of God. Tell people about God. Get your heart stirred up. Tell people about Jesus Christ. I know sometimes it's daunting. I know sometimes, but those few times when people will listen, and even the fewer more times that people will actually trust the Lord Jesus Christ, it's worth everything to tell people about Jesus Christ. This is your city. This is your town. Listen, some folks think, now, of course, we go place to place, and I go place to place. I want your heart to be stirred up. So you know what you do? You'll take out this, and you'll take out this, and you say, yes, I want to print the Word of God. And it's people like you that give out just a little bit. I've had people give me $50, $100, $10. Give me just a little bit. Say, here, I want to buy. You know, like I said, it costs 10 cents a piece to print one of those little booklets. That's a pretty good investment when you think, when you take that booklet and you take it to a third world country, not just one person will usually see it. It'll be up to seven or even up to 20 people will see that book and read it. And that's a great investment. Amen. But just to give a little, just to get the Word of God out. And of course, that's what we're trying to do. And that's, of course, that's what we're after. Are you stirred? Are you stirred to give? I think of Isaiah, who in chapter 6 saw the Lord high and sitting up. I'm not going to go there this morning. And he said, oh, woe is me, for I'm undone, for I am a man of unclean lips. The seraphim flew unto him, remember, with the live coal and put it on his lips. He says, by this you are clean. And then God said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Do you think that Isaiah said, okay, Lord, yep, I guess I'll go? No, he just saw God. He just saw the Lord high and lifted and sitting upon a throne and hearing the angels, the seraphim singing, holy, holy, holy. I think when he said that, he said, here am I, Lord, I'll go. He was stirred up. Stirred up. Folks, get stirred up this morning. Stirred up to witness, to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And get stirred up for the missions that are out there. Get stirred up for the Word of God to being preached and passed out and distributed around the world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you've done for us. I pray, Lord, you'd stir our hearts. I pray, God, that we would be moved to witness and to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that we would be moved, Lord, to go to the regions beyond. Lord, I know that there are here that are too old to go. I know, Lord, if I wanted to go to a foreign country and went to a foreign mission board, I know what they'd say. You're too old. We can't support you over there. But Lord, I can give more. I can pray more. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do so. Help us to have that desire. It's easy to say lots of times. It's hard to do and be consistent at it and going at it, Lord, and praying and seeking and giving and sacrificially sending somebody else. Lord, it's so worth it, Lord. Heaven will be such a wonderful reunion with all these folks that get saved. Lord, I pray that we'll tell people about the Lord Jesus. Guide and direct us in our lives. Lord, if there's one here not saved, maybe this is foreign to them. They've never trusted you as their personal Savior, Lord, but all they have to do is call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, and they shall be saved. And Lord, and they can have their sins forgiven. They can have a home in heaven. Lord, I pray that you guide and direct us now this day. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, if you want a invitation time, the invitation is this. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, get saved today. Maybe some of you have been moved to witness to somebody, to take more tracts, let people know about Jesus Christ. Or maybe you've been moved about to missions and trying to get missionaries out. Or maybe you've been moved about the mere fact of printing Bibles and getting Gospels out. Talk to your pastor about that or pray about that to the Lord. Pastor, why don't you take the invitation at this time?
Well, amen. Was your heart stirred today? Did you think of someone that you should witness to? Someone you know that's not going to heaven? Are you where you ought to be with the Lord? When's the last time you gave out a gospel tract? Very simple thing to do, but kind of a hard thing to be consistent about. Would you do as the Lord would tell you to this morning and respond to Him in that way? Come to Him and say, Lord, my heart's cold. Maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you say, Lord, I don't even think anybody'd do anything. And maybe you just need to ask God to do something in your heart to stir you. But the gospel works. It's the power of God. That's what Paul said, unto salvation to everyone that believeth. If you'll give it out, the Lord will use it. And we need to be faithful to do so. Amen. Josiah, why don't we're on page 542. Why don't you stand this morning, 542. We'll sing a verse or two of invitation today. If God has spoken to your heart, it's still time to come. Talk to the Lord. Respond to Him this morning, 542. Well, amen. That's a good challenge this morning, very basic challenge. If you're a Christian, you know that's your responsibility, right? Even if you don't know anything about the Bible, you would know if you received eternal life and you knew the Lord came into your life, you would say, man, I have got to tell my people about it. I've got to tell my wife. I've got to tell my husband. I've got to tell my dad or my mom or my son or my daughter. I've got to tell them. Just like he said, you know, sometimes the Lord lets us get in spots where ones we love are, we know they're on the very brink of eternity. and that we've assumed they may be saved. But you know, there's a lot of confusion in the world, a lot of religion that is not saving religion, a lot of stuff like that. And people need to know there's only one way to get to heaven. That's only through Jesus Christ, and it's only through a personal relationship with Him. And we need to be more faithful. And we assume a lot of things that are not true, I believe. And we don't want to live on assumption. We want to act upon truth.